नमो नमः। Oh, we'll start in a minute. ओम नमः पाणिनि कात्यायन पतंजलिभ्यः शतज्ञा संप्रदाय कर्तृभ्यः परम ऋषिभ्यो नमो महद्भ्यो नमो गुरुभ्यः येन अक्षर समाम्नायम अधिगम्य महेश्वरात् प्रश्नं व्याकरणं प्रोक्तं तस्मै पाणिनये नमः। वाक्यकारं वररुचिं भाष्यकारं पतंजलिं पाणिनीं सूत्रकारं च प्रणतो अस्मि मुनित्रयम्। सिद्धि साध्य सतामस्तु प्रसादात्तस्य धूर्जटेः जाह्नवी फेनलेखेव जन्मूर्ध्नि शशकला श्रुतो हितोपदेशोऽयम् पाटवं संस्कृतोक्तिषु वाचां सर्वत्र वैचित्र्यं नीतिविद्यां ददाति च श्रुतो हितोपदेशोऽयं पाटवं संस्कृतोक्तिषु वाचां सर्वत्र वैचित्र्यं नीतिविद्यां ददाति च अजरामरवत् प्राज्ञः विद्यामर्थं च चिन्तयेत् गृहीत इव केशेषु मृत्युना धर्ममाचरेत् अजरामरवत् प्राज्ञः विद्यामर्थं च चिन्तयेत् गृहीत इव केशेषु मृत्युना धर्ममाचरेत् सर्वद्रव्येषु विद्यैव द्रव्यमाहुरनुत्तमम् आहार्यत्वादनर्घत्वाद् अक्षयत्वाच्च सर्वदा। ओम नमो नमः। Just for some of the people who are joining online also, it is a suggestion that if you have a question, please put it on the chat, or you may unmute and ask the question, but find out, just put it on the chat, will be better. We'll try to address them. Second, for all of you, we have given a link earlier, which is tinyurl.com. I think most of you should have access to it. If not, you have tried. If you have not tried it, please go ahead and try it. tinyurl.com/avgsanskrit-2020. Okay, simple URL. It will put you into this folder. this folder is a Dropbox folder. And in this folder, you have the Zoom recordings for these classes. So you should be able to access the Zoom recordings. There's a README here. You can actually read the README. It'll give you information about the Zoom link, Mac keyboard, and also what is more important is the link to the class notes. The link to the class notes. Now, you know, I have to give you a follow-up like this. I give you only one link and then you can follow up everything else. The one link that you have to remember, which is there on the website also, avgsanskrit-2020 in tiny URL. Now, if you go here and click here, what you will do is it will give you access to this, these notes that I'm typing here in the class. Okay. So that way, if you try to copy and write, you might have some errors, but if you have it in the notes, you will see my errors. Okay. And feel free to correct me. I will go ahead and correct it. That is one thing. So this is a prayer that we say. Okay. There's another prayer that we say. I will try to type that up here. And the shlokas of Hitopadesha as they come. So last class, we revised what is Nama, Akhyata, Upasarga, Nipata. We also talked about what is Samhitayam, or rather what is a Sandhi. Right? What are the rules of Sandhi, which we will ponder upon as we go. I plan to take more of the text and introduce you to rules slowly. As you go further, what will happen is that you'll be able to do a lot more of the exercise, of the Vyakaran exercise. Then you can always go back to the previous versions and apply them. So it's not that we are skipping through the exercise earlier. It's just that I'm going to introduce you to some topics slowly while the text is being covered. So we looked at the second verse yesterday, which is Shruto Hitopadeshoyam Patavam Samskrutoktishu Vacham Sarvatra Vaichitriam Niti Vidyam Dadati Cha. Okay. So what is this? This is actually, so there are a couple of things. One is that Mangaladini, Mangalamadhyani, Mangalantani. Okay. Mangalam. Usually a text will start with a prayer. Adini, Madhyani, Antani. We'll start with a prayer. Somewhere in the middle there will be a prayer. At the end there will be a prayer. So this text starts with the prayer. So this Sadhya Satamastu is more of a prayer to the Lord Shiva. Dhurjati. Then what happens is that after that most of the prayers are done. Then most of the text, many texts, will start with what is the Anubandha Chatushtaya. What are the four various aspects, right, of the topic? The main aspect that it wants to communicate to you is that what is the text trying to cover? I'm not going into details of what are the Anubandha Chatushtaya, but what is the text trying to cover? So here it is in some ways eulogizing the text. What is Hitopadesha about? Okay, so Hitopadesha is a text. Okay, I am Hitopadesha. So if you go back and look at that shloka. Okay. Now I will rearrange the words. Let us rearrange the words of this second shloka. So we first did the Padachheda. Padachheda is breaking the words in the word boundaries. And when you're breaking the words, you're putting a pause between the words. When you put a pause, all the Sandhi rules of the pause will come in effect. Okay. So Shrutaha Hitopadeshaha Ayam. That is what we did as the Padachheda in the last class. Okay. Some rationale behind Padachheda is that when the Sandhi rules are taken up, okay, the Sandhi rules are for Mukha Uchalnatha. Mukha Sukhartham. The Uchalnam is Mukha Sukhartham. Mukha Sukhartham means for the ease of enunciation. That is why we have the Sandhi rules. Now, what are the Sandhi rules? We will learn. As we go, we will learn. But the Sandhi rules that are there, when you put a pause in between, you're breaking the Sandhi. Right? Because we said that the two characters come in together in juxtaposition in time, that's when Sandhi is applied. But now when you're putting a pause, you are putting a break in between. So then the Sandhi is broken. So where do you put a pause? You put a pause in word boundary. We also said that you cannot put a pause in these locations. What are those locations? In between a word. Okay. So the Samhita inside a word, ekapade, it is nitya. Nitya means should always be done. The samhita or the sandhi inside a word should always be done. Between a dhatu and upasarga. What is dhatu? Actually, it is between a upasarga and a dhatu. A prefix and a verbal root. When you have a prefix and a verbal root, there also the sandhi has to always be done. You cannot break that sandhi there. Or rather, you should not break the sandhi there while you are learning how to chant. Or even learning how to say the word. Or learning how to read also. You don't break a sandhi. I cannot say shruto, hito, padeshu. You cannot say that. You follow? I have to say shruto, hito upadeshaha. Hito upadeshaha, I can stop. I cannot stop somewhere in between here is what I'm trying to say. Then you would say, as it was asked yesterday, hita and upadesha are two words. Right? But hita and upadesha are together compound words. It is a compound word. Together those two words are forming a compound word. A compound word in Sanskritam is called samasa. Samasa. There are a lot of different types of samasas, which we will go into later. Right? But a compound word is called samasa. So in the samasa, samase, in between the words of a compound, you don't break. This you will see in Bhagavad Gita. There are a few shlokas in Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, in the 6th chapter, where you will find that your pada ends in the middle of a samasa. In that case, you don't stop there. You have to say the whole line. You don't stop in between just because you know, that is why when there are people who try to sing, and in the singing, when they sing Sanskritam, any of the Sanskritam poems or Sanskritam songs or something like that, because of the alapas and the other things that they do in singing, they will try to extend some vowel, okay, because it is meeting the tune. But wouldn't be Sanskritam. You follow? Sanskritam, you do not stop at, and it's a very valid word boundary. Why is that? Why should I stop only at a valid word boundary? It's because the complete meaning, we talked that the words, padas, have a shakti, have a power. That shakti, the vachyartha is also called as the abhidha shakti. The vachyartha is called abhidha shakti. This abhidha shakti is possible when the first vowel or the first syllable merges into the second syllable merges into the third, and the third syllable merges into the fourth, and together it conveys a meaning. Rama. So the refa, akara, makara, akara, ha, the visarga, together conveys one meaning. Ramaha. That we are talking about a noun, and that noun is named as Rama, and that Rama is the subject of the sentence. All those meaning, it is masculine, it is singular, okay, masculine, singular, it is akaranta. All that meaning together is being conveyed by just that word. It is not just a word. It is a confluence of all these various meanings that is trying to come in. That is why if you break it in between and say Ra, Maha, then the whole meaning is not conveyed. You might as well not say anything. The purpose of saying is to communicate, right? You might as well not say anything because that is the reason why you do not break in between. Okay? So you say Ramaha. Okay? So that Ramaha together, as I said, conveys it's a subject, it's an active voice, right? It is masculine, it is singular. All those aspects have been communicated in that Rama. So that is why you have to follow these rules, is that do not break unless it's a valid word boundary. Now you will ask, how do I know what and where is the word boundary? If I look up a Sanskritam text, these texts are forgiving because they have word boundaries marked up for us. If you look up a manuscript, old manuscripts, if you look them, okay, there will be no spaces here. Between Shrita and Hitopadeja, actually space is also not required. The space bar is our concept. is a keyboard concept. The space was concept was not there earlier in Sanskrit. Why? Because those pamphlets are few in numbers, and you want to, you're writing it, you might as well write it really concise and precise in a very shortest possible mechanism, right? And save space, because it takes such a lot of time to create one of those manuscripts. But that is later. Earlier it was all chanted. Sanskritam was all Shruti. So here also it doesn't say it is read that itopadesha as it is read that it is ayam patavam sanskritopadesha. It is said Shruta because it is heard. Okay? Make sense? That's why we have Shruti, by the way. So we will, some of these fine nuances we will go into. As in time permits, we will go into those nuances. Okay. Yeah, I know I'm pushing a lot of things to the latter, but I still want to keep you captivated. Okay. So into the topic. Okay. So Shruto Hito Upadesho. Okay. Now what we're going to do is after breaking up the words, we will try to rearrange the words. Now you will ask, why do we rearrange the words? Because most of these are shlokas. Okay. What is a shloka? If you go to a prosody, right? So the prosody of Sanskritam, which is chandas, chanda meter, is a meter. If you go into the meter, there are these various meters that are talked about. Like for example, Gayatri. Gayatri is a meter, right? Then there is Anushtup, is a meter. Anushtup. Most of the Bhagavad Gita is an Anushtub meter. Most of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita also has one more meter called Trishtub. Anushtub and Trishtub. Okay. And as I told you, Gayatri is another meter. So there are various meters. Okay. Chandas. The science of Chandas will explain you on that. That Anushtub meter is very prevalent in the language. Not only in Bhagavad Gita, many places you'll find they will create a shloka, they'll create a verse is an Anushtub. It is so prevalent in the language, everywhere. Okay, for example, when I say Samhite Kpade Nitya, Nitya Dhatu Pasargayoho, right? That also is an Anushtub meter. So what I'm saying is that Anushtub meter is very prevalent in the language. In fact, most of the poetry that is, as I said, there will be Gadya and Padya. Okay, you can note down Padya and Gadya. Right? This Padya, which means poetry. Gadya means prose. So most of the poetry that is there in Hitopadesha is also in Anushtub meter. These two shlokas, Siddhis Sadhye Satamastu, Shruto Hitopadesha. In fact, the next 30-40 shlokas, 40 of all of these verses, they're all in Anushtub meter. Anushtub. Okay. Another name for Anushtub meter is shloka. Now you understand where the word shloka comes from? Shloka is the name of the, another name for Anushtub meter. And because it is so prevalent, anything we find in a verse form, we call it shloka. So shloka that is usually done has got some rhyme, some reason for it. It's got a counted number of syllables, right? It has word boundaries, which will be pada boundaries, and it will have one line which will end in a word boundary. You will not have a word that continues into the next sentence. There will not be a dash at the end. So there are these rules that it will apply. And in order to apply those rules in Sanskritam, you can actually rearrange the words without changing the meaning of the sentence. Okay. In English, I can say Rama weds Sita. Okay. And if you change it the other way, Sita weds Rama. Is there a change in meaning? No. Rama weds Sita, Sita weds Rama, no change in meaning. But that is a wrong verb to use. If I use another verb, Rama sees Sita is what I want to communicate. If I change the word location, Sita sees Rama, the meaning is different. Right? In Sanskritam, that doesn't happen. That is why the language is amiable to poetry. Have you tried to read some English good poetry, some good poetry in English? I'm sure you all have. That is a rhetorical question. If you have tried to read some English poetry, right? The poetries are beautiful, no doubt about it. Okay. But if you take those sentences as it is and grammatically, if you look at it, behold a single in the field, yon solitary highland lass, weeping and singing by herself, stop here or gently pass. This is William Wordsworth. Okay, the poetry is a solitary reaper. You take up anything. For oft when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon my inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude. You look at it, you look at a sentence. If you look at the sentence, the words themselves, you cannot use it as it is in prose. Okay. And in fact, if you use it as it is in prose, people, you'll be frowned upon. How, what type of a sentence is this? It is beautiful poetry, no doubt about it. Right? That is because the language, like English, is not amiable, as amiable to rearrangement of words. So when Rama sees Sita, and you change it to Sita sees Rama, the meaning is changed. Whereas in Sanskritam, what happens is that Ramaha Sitam Pashyati. Ramaha Sitam Pashyati. Or I have to say Sita Ramam Pashyati. This is an important aspect which we need to look at. Okay, I'm going to type these two sentences for you. Okay, class 3. I'm going to change these and put them into different files later. Okay, so just bear with me. So class 3, I'm just saying Ramaha Ramaha Sitam Pashyati. Okay, I'm not doing all the Sandhi rules at this point of time. So just keeping the words separate. Sita Ramam Pashyati. Okay, so if you look at this, right, you will find that it is not only Rama, there is a Visarga here. And not just Rama, but there is an Am here. There is an Am here. It is not Sita, but it is Sita here, all right. But here it is Sita, right? Because of that, if I say Pashyati Ramaha Sitam, or if I say Sitam Pashyati Ramaha, you see that Ramaha did not change. Okay, so when I look at Ramaha, that Visarga, I know it is the one who is doing the action of seeing. Whereas when I look at Sitam versus Sita, right? Sita versus Sita. I know that it is Sita here in this who is doing the action of seeing, but here it is Sita who is not doing the action of seeing. It is the object of the action to see. Follow? It is the object of the action to see. That is a difference, right? So this is why, because the preposition, as I said earlier, that there is a preposition, right? You follow? There's a preposition. The preposition about of something, to something, in something. You follow? These prepositions are actually making a modification to the noun. And the noun gets modified by some suffix that gets added. When that noun gets modified and the suffix gets added, what ends up happening is that now you have a new word which has got the suffix added word. Okay? This mechanism, as I told you, I will introduce the topic and then we'll dwell on that topic further. Okay, this mechanism for the noun is called in English, we call it a declension. Okay. We say that the noun is declined. Okay. Now, English doesn't have it, but this is the meaning. It is says the noun is declined. Okay. So that is why the Rama is a Shabda. Okay. Rama is a Shabda. Right. Rama is a Shabda. It gets declined like this, which you all very familiar with. Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha. Why am I struggling? Okay. Let me just yank and put. The advantage of using a computer here. Okay. But this is not correct. He is given Napumsaka. Okay. I need to pull in the masculine. My fault. Which means that the masculine and the neuter are declined differently. You see this? Okay. Now, I usually do not recommend people to buy a lot of books, okay, which you should when you want to learn and study and read something. But when you're starting, there's one book that I usually very highly recommend. If you go to this Dropbox folder, you'll find a book called Shabda Manjari. Okay. For some of you who are starting to learn in the afternoon, and people who have already been attending this class, probably. But if not, this is a good book to have for people who are starting to learn Shabda Manjari. It's available here. If not, there's a PDF in the directory that I've given. Yes, go ahead. Yes, for the beginners. It is a good book because it has a declension of all the nouns. Okay. It has a declension of all the nouns. It has an introductory information about all the dhatus. It has gives you a very nice, good introduction of all the vrittis. Right? It gives you a nice introduction to all the samasas. So if you look what an introductory or location where, but one thing is that the book is in all Sanskrit. There's very little, some English words are used here and there, but it's all Sanskrit. But once you start Sanskritam, you have to refer. You need to know how is Rama Shabda declined. Okay, then when you go to that book, you will find this way. If you know all this, you don't need the book. It's a small booklet. I have not been to India this time. I couldn't get it. But if I go, I usually get like 20, 30 copies of this, right? A small booklet like this. Okay. And then if you look at it, it will, as I'm showing you on the screen, it will give you the declension. And I think, you know, it will be a good idea to just memorize this declension, if possible. For people who are wanting to study Vyakaranam, it is a good idea to memorize this declension. Akaranta pumlingaha rama shabdaha Ramaha Ramo Ramaha, He Rama, He Ramo, He Ramaha, Ramam Ramo Raman, Ramena Ramabhyam Ramaihi, Ramaya Ramabhyam Ramebhyaha, Ramas Ramat Ramabhyam Ramebhyaha, Ramasya Ramayohu Ramanam, Rame Ramayohu Rameshu, Evam Deva Mukunda Shiva Hara Prabhutayaha. You follow? Okay, so you memorize like that. Now, should I memorize it? I'm not able to memorize it. It's okay. You can take the hard path. Just don't memorize it. And then you will almost struggle. Okay? That is the point there. Anyway, what I was trying to tell you is that the nouns are declined. Important point, right? That we are saying here that the nouns are declined. Okay? And the decline means usually a suffix is added. Rama is added a suffix called Su and it becomes Ramaha. How that adds and what those modifications, those are the rules of Paninian grammar, okay, which we are not going to dwell in here. But for here, you understand that the Rama nominative singular, Prathama Ekvachanam is Ramaha. Okay, Brahma, if it's a Shabda, Brahma, the Shabda is Brahman, which is a Pratipadikam. So Brahman Shabda, masculine, becomes Brahma. Okay? Akara. And if it is a neuter, it becomes Brahma. Make sense? Some difference. So what is the difference? When the difference is, you will know by looking into a book like this. So I would suggest, very highly recommend this. Or you can go the easier way out. Install a software in your phone. The word, it gives you everything nowadays, right? As I told you, for example, I just have a software here. It gives me, where is it? Okay, that software doesn't want to come up here. Now, there it is. You see this? This is actually a dictionary software called Golden Dick on a Mac. And you can just put a Rama Shabda here and it give you the neuter, masculine, others. Okay. Later on, as we progress further, I will show you how to take the software, where do you get the software from, how do you install it on a PC, what you do. Right? As I told you, our objective here is to learn the language, but also to provide you the tools to make it easier for you to learn on your own. Okay. Anyway, so this is Rama Shabda. So coming back, right? The declension means noun is declined. Because noun is declined, right, it contains with it the suffix. That suffix tells us whether if it is a subject, whether if it's an object, whether it is ablative, whether it is dative, whether it is instrumental, whether it is locative. What are all these? We will understand. But it tells us the aspect of that noun. How is that noun related to the verb? Okay. Whenever a noun, when we said yesterday that we have to do the anvaya the connection, we have to do the connection of the noun with the verb, we said that yesterday, that connection of the noun is in various ways. What is the connection of the noun? A verb is there, right? So you have an action. Let me see if I can make something better. Are you able to see this? I know you guys are able to see it, but I'm sure the online folks are able to see only this window. I'm trying this, not so good at it. Board is better than this. Okay. So what happens is that you will always have the cornerstone of any sentence is an action. We said that the main pillar of any sentence is an action. An action is, what is it called? It's called kriya. Okay. Now in any language, you will have what is called as active voice and passive voice. Okay, an active voice and passive voice. Let's say that we are concentrating on active voice. Why not passive? Let's take one at a time. Passive we will do later. If at all you have an active voice, okay, just keep this in mind that we are talking about active voice. Active voice in Sanskritam is called Kartari. Kartari. Kartari what? Kartari Prayoga means active voice. Kartari Prayoga. So whenever you have an action, that Kriya, everything revolves around the action. Okay, it's a challenge for you as a homework. You find, go and look up any Sanskritam sentence you want. In any Sanskritam book, Vedas or any other books, anywhere Sanskritam is sentence you find me a sentence which does not have an action in it. The action is very slowly as today's Akshatam. You find me a sentence which does not have an Akshatam in it. If you don't go looking for it, because you will not find one. The whole idea of a Vakyam is Ek Thing Vakyam. Thing is, thing anta, we said yesterday, is an akhyata. It has to have one action in it. That means whenever I'm communicating to you, anything I'm communicating to you, is a sentence, minimum communication that we are doing is one sentence, isn't it? And in that one sentence, I'm always referring to an action. Okay? Referring. Action. Everything else is now. The main sentence, anything that you have, which is contains the subject and the predicate, as part of the action, you have to have what is the subject. Subject is called karta in Sanskrit. Then you have the object of the action. Object is called karma. Not karma. Okay, it's karma. Karta, all right. Akara. But karma. Don't confuse this with the ritual karma. Okay. This karma means it's an object. Object also doesn't mean it's an object. Object here means it is object of the verb in a sentence. Ramaha Sitam Pashyati. Okay, or our Rama. He is not around these days, but he will come back pretty soon, hopefully. So Ramaha Pachati. Ramaha Pachati. So Rama cooks. Ramaha Odanam Pachati. Rama cooks rice. So how will you say rice? In English, how will you say rice? Rama cooks rice. Rama cooks raw rice. It won't be cooked rice, because if it's cooked rice, then it is not, no need of cooking is required. Okay. So Ramaha, in Sanskritam you have two words. Odanam. Okay. Tandulan pachati. Tandula is a rice, uncooked rice. Odanam is cooked rice. But then I am saying Ramaha Odanam Pachati. It is okay. You can always cook something that you have not cooked yet, but using the sentence. What is he cooking? Okay. He is cooking a ratatouille. Okay. Has he cooked ratatouille? Yeah, he is cooked ratatouille. Then why are you saying he is cooking ratatouille? No. He is about to cook ratatouille. Also, I can say he cooks ratatouille. You follow? I'm sorry? Yeah, what is in a language, whenever say, okay, I go to the cafeteria. I go to the cafeteria. Have I gone to the cafeteria? No. When I say I go to the cafeteria, I'm about to go to the cafeteria is also okay, as good as I go to the cafeteria. Okay? You're about to cook something. It's a very minor, fine point. But why am I stuck with that? I don't know. Let's come back. Okay. So, Ramaha Odanam Pachati. Okay, I was stuck because, you know, Odanam is already cooked. So how can he cook rice which is already cooked? And you have rice which is cooked, that's called Odhanam. But anyway, Ramaha Odhanam Pachati. Rama cooks rice. Simple sentence. Rama cooks rice. Ramaha Odhanam Pachati. So Pachanam is your Kriya. To cook. Pachanam is your Kriya. Now, how do you know Pachanam is the Kriya? How do you guys know Pachanam is a Kriya? Because I just told you Pachanam is a Kriya which means to cook. Okay. So similarly, any Kriya that is existing in the language, any Kriya that is existing in the language are all very well known. Okay. My monosyllabic symbols. Mono or sometimes bisyllabic symbols. Okay. Pach, to cook. Chal, to walk. Drish, to see. You follow? So these monosyllabic symbols that exist in the language, there are about 2,200 monosyllabic symbols in the language. In Sanskritam language. Language here is Sanskritam language. These monosyllabic symbols, the symbols, you know, pach, how did pach means cook? How can it mean cook? Pach, pakara, akara, chakara. How can it mean cook? Is there any significance with pach and the actual act of lighting a fire and getting the fire to cook? Is there any correlation between the two? No. There is no direct correlation. The correlation is this, is that we all together, as a society, people who know Sanskrita as a language, have superimposed over this symbol, pakara, akara, chakara, that pach means to cook. Make sense? Pach means to cook. So when I say pach, you understand cook, as long as we are talking in Sanskritam. And you say pach, also it means to cook, as long as we are talking in Sanskritam. Make sense? So this is actually superimposed on that syllable, that pach means to cook. So there are 2,200 such superimposed syllables in Sanskritam language, which means different actions altogether. Now an action could be a singular action, a singular motion. Remember, action, a verb is an action, a verb signifies action, and action signifies motion, right? And motion, whenever is there, there is space and time. That means that all words are referring to action, and these words which are referring to action are referring to something which is space and time. Now this becomes into the theory of Vyakarana. Hey, we don't want to go there, but you know, I'm just telling you the interesting aspect of the language. This will help us in understanding it. So you will realize that any sentence is referred to by at least one word, one Kriyapadam. And that Kriyapadam, in a Sanskritam language, you could have thousands of Kriyapadam, but you could have 2,200 different types of actions. To pick up is one action. To see is one action. When you are cooking, you are seeing also. When you are studying, you are reading also. You follow? When you are studying, you are reading also. And when you are studying, you are seeing also. So when you say that he studies, is it an action in 1 second of a time? Maybe. If he studies only for a second. Is it in 1 hour of time? Yes, if he studies for 1 hour. Maybe it's 4 years because he's doing his graduation. Or maybe it's a lifelong study. Then you're studying for the lifelong. So how long does the action continue? Right? You follow? And that action itself can have multiple small different actions. While I'm studying, I'm opening the book, I'm closing the book, I'm reading the book, right? But each of this, so what happens is that Kalpita, in our mind, we compose together a set of action to mean them as a single action. You follow? It could be a single action as in moves, okay, flutters, you follow? Or it could be a complicated action. Reading a book, reading, which is a complicated action. You're seeing, it is being watched, mind is there, it tells signals to the vocal speech, the vocal speech enunciates it, right? And the voice is created. All this is reading, vocalizing, reading, right? It could be reading without vocalizing also. I'm just saying vocalizing and reading. So these are all together actions. What I'm trying to say is that an action could be a simple action, or an action can be a combined of multiple actions, multiple various movements to say it's a single action. All these different types of possible actions in Samskrutam are one of these 2200. And they form the root of any verb. That's why they are the verbal root called dhatu. Now, any sentence you pick up, if it's a voice, you will say, this is a subject who is doing that action. The subject is doing that action. You follow? Any active voice, whenever you say, you take up any one of these 2200 actions and say, Pashyati. Okay. Bhajati. Okay. You follow? Pathati. You can say any one of the actions. And then you can add a subject to it. Ramaha. Krishnaha, Devadattaha, Saroja. Okay, you can pick up any word and say that is the subject. That subject is the karta. The object, he reads a book. Odanam pachati. He cooks rice. So rice is what is being cooked upon. The action is acted upon. Whenever an action is acted upon something, that what it is acted upon is the object of the action. That object in Sanskritam is called karma. You walk. You walk a path. Or you walk on the road. You follow? On the road is different. But you walk a path. You walk to a village. So the acquiring the village is the result of that action, right? Then that village, you walk to a village, becomes the karma. Ramaha gramam gachati. Rama goes to the village. That grama becomes the object of the action to go. You follow? So then you have the subject of the action, the object of the action, but you cook. Rama cooks with fire. Agnina, with the fire. Then what you cook with, something that is an instrument, right, is called karana. Something that is an instrument for the action is called karana. You cut with a knife. You read with your eyes or with glasses. With. You see, with. You read with glasses. You go with your feet. You walk with your feet. You go, you walk with your feet. With. You follow? That what is used as an instrument. Remember, we are talking about how are these nouns connected to the verb. A noun is connected to the verb by the noun being the subject of the verb, of that action, by the noun being the object of that action, or by the noun being that instrument of that action. Okay? There are sometimes all this action is happening in space. Like we are all sitting in the room. I see you on the chair. You follow? You see me on the stage, on the podium. You follow? Your action is happening in some location. When that action is happening in that location, right? It is the noun which denotes the location is called locative. The location could be in time or could be in space. In the month of January, in time. In the hall, space. In the river, in the room. On the stage, on the chair, on the table. These are all locations. So you're talking about the locative. What is locative? locative is when a noun is denoting that this action is taking in this place or in this time, then that noun, the room, the this thing, right? In Sanskritam, this is called adhikarna. What is it called? Adhikarna. Karnam. Similarly, when an action is done, right, that action is done with a purpose in mind. What is the purpose of that action? Or who is the beneficiary of the result of the action? You follow? Beneficiary. I give the book. I give the book to the students, where now the students are not the object of this, of the word to give. The object of the word to give is the book. I give the book to whom? For the students. Basically, the students are the recipient of the results of the action. Okay, this is called, these are some auxiliary ones that you need to know, sampradanam. In English it is called dative. Sampradanam. Make sense? Let me just correct that. Oh, it doesn't want to correct it. Dative, also called sampradanam. Makara also is fine, okay? Sampradanam. Then when an action is done, the action denotes some separation. Okay. For example, a leaf falls from the tree. Okay, I come from India. You follow? That denotes, that action denotes a separation. That separation is denoted by what is called as ablative. Oh, no space there. Okay, I'm just going to put it here. The separation is given by ablative. Ablative is called apadanam. Oh, apadanam. I'll have this picture for you, okay? That is the beauty of doing it on the computer. I can get this picture for you. We will do that. You look up Shabda Manjari. For example, when you go look up Shabda Manjari, the question that is asked, okay, I sometimes repeat the question because people online could not listen, cannot hear what you're saying. Okay, let me show you Shabda Manjari. If you go to Shabda Manjari, right, and I think in the preface, if you go, very much in the first part, right, it will say that you have nominative. Okay, I'm sorry, you have to twist your head, but you have nominative. Okay, let me see if I can do this. Better? Okay. So these are some of the suffixes that are added to mean that it's nominative. Nominative means in active voice is the karta. These are suffixes that are added in the second case, which is dvitiya, which is accusative. The accusative means it is the karma. Okay. If it's instrumental, then these are the suffixes added. But here, if you look at it, right, this means it's the subject of a sentence. This is the object. Not that, this one, object of a verb. This is the instrument. This is to, for what purpose? That is the dative. and when out of something, you take it out of something, from something, right? Then you use the ablative, and in, on, at, location is locative. The genitive is a special case. Genitive does not connect the noun to the verb. The genitive always connects the noun to another noun. Okay? And what I will do is I'll provide all of this summary here in the class notes. Okay? I'll type it up later. So today we understood what are nouns. We understood in some ways that the nouns, they are declined. Okay, Rama, you'll find a sentence with Rama. If you find a sentence with just Rama, that means it is an address, O Rama. But if you want that Rama in a sentence, right, in an action, to mean that he is the subject, then it has to be Ramaha. If you want Rama to be the object, Sita Rama Pashyati, that is incorrect. Sita Ramam Pashyati. Then you can say Rama is the object. Ramaya Namaha, that means the Namaskara that I am doing, the recipient of that Namaskara is Rama. Shivaya Namaha, the Shivaya is similar to this Ramaya. That means that you are saying that the Rama there is dative. Okay. Prasadat. From the prasada. Dhur jate hai prasadat. From the prasada of the dhur jati. You follow? That is to mean that this is from the Lord. Prasadat. Okay. And the ninth, seventh case is this. In Sanskritam, you also have. There are some more things about nouns that we need to know. It could be singular, dual, plural. A noun could be masculine, feminine, or neuter. Okay. Sometimes the same noun could be in masculine and neuter also. Okay. Not in feminine usually. So you could have masculine, feminine, neuter. And based on what the noun is, they'll be declined differently. That's where subdominatory helps. Because once the declension happens, the Rama will get declined like this. Rama will get declined like this. But if you see Hari, Hari will be like this. Harihi Hari Harayaha. Harim Hari Harin. Harina Haribhyam Haribhyaha. Haribhi Haraye. There it was Ramaya. Here it is Haraye. You see the difference? There it was Ramat, here it is Harehe. There it was Ramasya, here it is Harehe. There it was Rame, here it is Harav. You see the difference? That is why, based on what the noun is ending in, it is Akaranta, it is Ikaranta, it is Ukaranta, it is Nakaranta, it is Pakaranta. Based on how the noun is modified, there is a rhyme and reason to it. It is declined in a particular way. And how is it declined? Right? For example, Shutaha. Shutaha is singular. Okay. Go back to our shloka. Okay. You see this Shutaha. Shutaha, I'm just going to tell you what the cases are. Shutaha is nominative singular. Hitopadeshaha, nominative singular. I am also nominative singular for a pronoun. The pronoun is idam. Idam becomes I am, nominative singular. Patavam. Patavam is also nominative singular. Okay. Sanskrita uktishu. Vacham. Vacham is sixth case, plural. Sarvatra is an indeclinable. Vaichitriyam. Vaichitriyam in this case will be Vaichitriyam will be Dvitiya. Vaichitriyam will be, one second. These windows keep popping up. It will be accusative. Okay. It will be object. Then Neeti Vidyam, that also is accusative, like Latam. Okay. Now Vacham and Neeti Vidyam, they look similar, but Vacham is sixth case, whereas Neeti Vidyam is second case. Okay, Dadati is a verb. Dadati is a verb. So the rules for verbs are completely different. Rules for nouns, these are the rules for nouns. Okay with this, everybody? Yes. Yes. Genitive is Shashti, is the case, sixth case, but it is usually Sambandha. Yeah. Indeclinable means that the declensions are given, but then declensions are dropped. They are called avyayas. Indeclinables are called avyayas. Trishu kaleshu, trishu lingeshu, trishu vachaneshu, na vyeti iti avyayam. You had some questions? No, I'm ahead. Okay. Tomorrow we start first with your questions. Okay. Any questions online? Maybe not. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna. If you have any other questions, feel free to write. Okay. I will also add my email address. But actually, for now, you send your questions either via Zoom or you write and give me, and I will take up the question here. So today we had a good discussion about noun declensions. Okay. And we moved half a verse further. Tomorrow we will move other half and try to look at verbs. Okay. Once having done some of this, then we can go faster on the verbs. Okay. I plan to complete some amount of Hitopadesha this time. Okay. Don't think that we will do only like 5 or 10 verbs and be done with it. Because Hitopadesha has got very beautiful verses, very nice verses that we should look into together. Om.